Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Law Matters. On the phone right now, we have Sheriff Mark Napier. Good morning, Sheriff. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Sherry. How are you?
I'm doing okay. It's like an empty studio here. I'm floundering.
Yeah, we're living a little bit of different life right now, about a necessity, but this will pass. We'll get on the other side of this.
Cool. Do you have any great plans for the weekend, Easter weekend?
Well, I'm actually going to head up to Phoenix for my birthday, which was last month. I ordered a new firearm, which is now have been shipped to Cabela's in Phoenix. So I'm going to go up there and purchase my birthday present.
There you go. I don't know if you heard, we did wish you a happy birthday on air.
Yes, I appreciate that. I hope to enjoy many more of those.
What about the shooting range? Didn't they close all the shooting ranges?
Well, I'm a member of Pima Pistol up in Catalina, and that's a private pistol range. So the county did shutter the public ranges, but the Pima Pistol is still open with limited hours and taking some precautions about separation of the shooting lanes and so forth. But they're still open.
Cool. Very cool. So what's going on with the coronavirus in Pima County?
Well, we're my main concern as your sheriff is, of course, the jail. We do not want the virus to get inside our walls. So we've engaged in the rest of the criminal justice community, meaning prosecutors, the judges, defense community, and tried to get people out of jail that don't possess a real public safety threat. And that otherwise, I'll give you a perfect example. We have people on work release. Well, they go out to work all day, and then they come in back to sleep in the jail. Well, those people right now are the worst threat that we could face because they go out into the public, and then they come back into the jail. The risk of transmission of the virus is very high, so we've got those people out and some other people on some low-level crime because we have to free up large spaces of the jail in case we do have an infection so we can isolate those inmates. We're scanning all of our staff and all the inmates before they go into the jail. We're really engaged in a best practices approach to try to keep the virus out of the jail, and that is a real challenge. It's got into a lot of the jails across the country, and so far, knock on wood, we don't have any inmates that are infected. We have no staff that are infected. Monday, we'll start scanning all of our staff, taking temperatures before everybody goes into the main building on Benson Highway. So we're trying to do everything that we can while still providing superior public safety service to the county, which is an extreme challenge in this time right now.
Yeah, it is. And there are so many different organizations that really had to restructure everything they do. And you don't think of that when, things are normal, but all of a sudden they quickly put things into place. And I'm pretty impressed with that.
Well, you know what? For all the little warts that we have, I love Pima County. It's my home, and I'm going to live here long after I'm the sheriff. My children live here, as you know, and my grandchildren. So this is my home, and I'm really proud of the fact that we have come together in an appropriate way here in Pima County, and people are doing the things they're supposed to be doing, and we've had a really low rate of infection here in Pima County. And we're projecting, Dr. Garcia is projecting that we might hit the peak somewhere around here, around April 22nd-ish. It's really hard to know from the models. So we're not out of the woods yet, but we've made great strides in keeping it under control. And I'm very proud of the fact that on Tuesday, the Board of Supervisors, on a 4-1 vote, elected to provide premium pay, which is hazardous duty pay, to a large portion of my department, who cannot avoid this. I mean, deputies and corrections officers have to be in close proximity to people. They cannot always don PPE equipment. And for the duration of the crisis, they'll be receiving an additional $2 an hour in recognition of the fact they face very unusual hazards right now.
Yeah, they sure do. And I know I gathered up all my hand sanitizers and everything, and I took it over to the police department. And one of my board members is a canine officer, and he didn't have any. He said, I've run out. So I made sure I gave it to him. And I think Thunder Canyon Brewery is actually making hand sanitizers and donating it to first responders. So that's another source.
Yeah, we still are challenged with the PPE equipment. I mean, that's a national challenge. It's not unique to Pima County. But so far, we're holding our own there as well. We're getting the equipment to our people that they need. But I'm still a little uncomfortable about, we don't have that excess that I'd like to have. And right now we assume this will go on at least till the end of April. And so we've got a ways to go yet, but we'll keep our chins up and keep doing those things we do. I'm just could not be prouder of the men and women of the Pima County Sheriff's Department who are still out there providing service like they always have.
On the front lines. Just like your daughter. Your daughter's a nurse. How's she doing?
She's doing good. You know, both Marlene, my wife, and my youngest daughter's an ER nurse at Northwest Hospital, and my wife's a nurse who's currently on duty. And she's been a nurse for 40 years. She's been a nurse longer than I've been a police officer. So they're doing well. My youngest son, as you know, is a Tucson police officer. So a lot of my family is impacted by this. My oldest daughter is, she'll be 36 at the end of this month, and she's pregnant. So under the best circumstances, that's a high-risk pregnancy.
Yeah, she has to stay home.
So she's going crazy. She called me yesterday and said, "Daddy, I'm going nuts. You know, I've been shut in the house for 4 weeks now." Yeah. And her doctors recommended that she stay hunkered down for at least another 2 weeks. So it's definitely had an impact on my personal family as well. But my larger family, which are people of Pima County, I know that it's had an impact on all of us. But working together, we'll get through this. This is not a permanent thing. We'll get past this.
Well, I think you're doing a great job. And, you know, an emergency situation, I think everybody, TPD, the sheriff's department, everybody just like went into emergency mode and, you know, handled it.
Well, you know, Sherry, that's what we do. I mean, we train for this all the time, but usually it's a barricaded person, it's a SWAT call out, it's any number of things.
You can't see this one. I mean, it could be right here and you don't know it.
Yeah, but, you know, the very things that we train for those other critical incidents are applicable to this. You know, how we set up an incident command structure, how we communicate, how we assign duties out. So we've been practicing this stuff for the, you know, decades I've been a law enforcement officer. So what we did is we just implemented what we would with any other type of critical incident and geared that up, and it's actually worked very well.
Well, I appreciate you calling in and putting our minds at ease about what's going on and how it's being handled, and I hope everybody stays healthy.
Well, thank you. And to all the people of Pima County, remember that any inconveniences we suffer are temporary.
Yes.
So just bear with it. We'll get through this together, and we'll come out the other side as stronger and better in many ways, as people often do when they come through a crisis.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you calling in, and happy birthday. Have a safe trip up to Phoenix.
Yeah, I'm like a little kid. I'm excited. My wife says, "Well, why do you need another gun?" I said, "Well, they keep making them. I'm a guy. I like firearms. So
why not?
I'm happy. It just took me several weeks to get it ordered with all the rush, but my birthday happened to fall right in the middle of all this. So
yeah.
My regards to all the people of Pima County, and thanks for all you do, Sherry, too. I appreciate your show a great deal.
Thank you, and you have a safe weekend.
Thank you.
Right.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Okay, on the phone, because we're practicing social distancing, we have IRS Special Agent Brian Watson and Enrolled Agent Mark Barnes, who's the owner of Copper Canyon Tax Service. And Mark, are you there? Mark.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. How's it going?
It's going.
Okay.
It's the middle of tax season. We've got more changes than we've probably had in the last decade.
I know. So they've moved the tax deadline. Now where is it? It's like this moving target. You never know. Now where is it?
So in the last couple of weeks, we've had three changes come out. The first one was just for payments. The second one was for any taxes that were due or payments that were due April 15th. And let's see, today's Saturday, so let's say that Wednesday of this week, the update came out that any tax return or tax payment, with the exception of payroll, that was due between April 1st and July 15th is now due July 15th. So any 1040, corporate tax return, partnership return, nonprofit return, excise tax return, estimated payments, payments that were due with your tax return filing, all that stuff is now due on July 15th.
So is there going to be a penalty or interest owing or anything for this delay? Are they still collecting that, or are they forgiving that and just moving the date back and all's well.
So what happens when we have a national emergency? It allows the Secretary of the Treasury to take this type of an action. And basically, it's not a delay for this year. It's simply changing the date. So your tax return is no longer due on April 15th. Your tax return is now due July 15th. So as long as you file by July 15th, you have filed on time. As long as you pay by July 15th, if you owe, you have paid on time. So all these other actions that we normally have disappeared because the due date has been officially changed for this year. So
how does that affect your job?
Well, there's pluses and minuses to these kinds of changes. There's a lot of buildup. There's a lot of mental preparation for long days and thankless hours of cranking out tax returns. And there's this mental unwinding that normally happens on April 16th. So when they announce that we're changing this date, it kind of takes that mental aspect that you've already kind of built up and are waiting on, and it messed it up. So the first week,
they're screwing with your head deliberately.
Yeah. Like the first week, it was hard to kind of acknowledge that this had happened. And, you know, there's all this stuff going on, and my office is shut down, and people aren't allowed in. And so, like, I get it. We're doing everything that we need to do to protect ourselves and our other clients and everything else. But there was still that mental aspect of it that we kind of had to work through. But then the stimulus bill came out, and then suddenly I have thousands of pages of stuff to read. I have Governor Ducey issuing executive orders on a variety of topics that affect taxes and my clients. And so suddenly, like, hey, everything kind of isn't due right now. I have time to read this stuff. I have time to communicate with my clients. I have time to work with my business clients through all these new programs that are available. So it was kind of that curse and a blessing all at the same time. We've cut back hours. We're not working super long hours. We're working a regular work week.
That's almost normal. How are you going to behave? I mean,
nobody said anything about behaving, did they?
There's going to be a baby boom in 9 months from now. I just know it.
There may be. There's also going to be a boom in divorces. So
yeah, I married
divorce
you.
Attorneys,
oh my God,
should do well.
True that. True that. What is this economic impact payment? What is that?
Okay, so the economic impact payment is the official name for your stimulus check, and the government has stepped up and offered a variety of different ways to get money into people's hands to keep their bills paid, to keep small businesses going, to make sure that everything doesn't come to a screeching halt while things have come to a screeching halt. So there are some criteria that need to be met, and if you meet those criteria, then you qualify to receive an economic impact payment, also known as your stimulus.
And how do you do that? Where do you apply? Or is it automatic?
So it's, for most people, it's going to be automatic. And the way that the law is written, the IRS is going to look at your 2019 tax return. If there's one on file, they're going to use that information to determine if you're eligible. If you have not filed your 2019 tax return yet, they will look back to 2018, and then they will use that information to determine if you're eligible. And if neither of those two returns are on file, they will go to the Social Security Administration, and they will look to see if you are a recipient of Social Security or railroad retirement benefits, and then they will use that information. And so between those four items, that covers the majority of the people, and they will be able to determine eligibility through that.
Is it taxable?
It's not taxable.
So you're going to get a check, and is this surplus money?
surplus. The government does not have a surplus, so this is this is money they printed out of thin air. So we'll get to that in a second. We'll back up. Okay. As of yesterday, the IRS has released a new tool online for people that have not filed. And so there's two different categories of people that have not filed a tax return. There are people that are not required to file because they're elderly, they're collecting Social Security, and they're below filing thresholds. Those people need to do nothing. Social Security records will work for you, and you'll receive your stimulus payment. The other group is the people that should have been filing but have not, the non-filers. So for the non-filers, you can go to irs.gov. Right on the front page, there's a tab that says, what the heck does it say? It says something about your coronavirus tax relief. If you click on that, on the left side, there will be a tab for your economic impact payment. And then there's a list of information that it's going to be asking for. So if you have not filed 18 or 19, you should have. This is a section where you will go in and enter in your information, banking, direct deposit information, and this will allow the IRS to issue you a stimulus payment even though you have not filed a tax return.
So wait a minute. If you're supposed to file and you didn't file, aren't you in trouble?
These are two separate issues.
Okay, we'll talk to Brian about that part. Before we get to that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a few. Okay, we are back. And Brian, I know you're on the line. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Good morning, Sherry. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Okay, if somebody that's supposed to be filing their taxes has not filed their taxes in a couple of years, and now they want to take advantage of this economic impact payment, and so they fill out the form, aren't they in trouble?
No, it's better late than never. It's very interesting, Sherry. I had someone reach out to me this week who I tried to reach out to a couple of years ago about being a victim of ID theft, but I wasn't quite sure if this person was a victim of ID theft or kind of a willing co-conspirator in a scheme. And then all of a sudden when, push comes to shove and this person wants to get their economic impact payment, they wanted to talk to me real quick. They pulled out that letter I sent to them, said, I want to get back into compliance. Because, there are people that have not filed for a variety of reasons, like Mark said. Some people just don't make enough to file. Or maybe some people have, they're part of the gig economy, and they just haven't gotten around to filing it. They have all kinds of side jobs. So there will be more people filing because of these economic impact payments.
Okay, so if you're going to all of a sudden file and you haven't filed, that means you have to prepare your taxes for the years you haven't filed and get yourself up to date.
That is true.
Yes.
So then, if you need to do that, you either obviously are doing it yourself or you're paying someone like Mark to prepare it for you. More than 50% of people use a paid preparer. It's just so you know, it all depends on the complexity of your returns. But if you have a simple return, especially some of these people we're talking about have maybe just some interest income, maybe a few 1099s for some miscellaneous income. They might have a small W-2 where they didn't have any withholding of taxes, but they want to get that return. And I would send people to irs.gov and file your return online there. Just follow the steps. It'll walk you right through it. If it's more complex, then, that's when I encourage people to consider hiring a paid return preparer, someone who, is a professional and can handle the more complex situations.
So what is the limit where you really don't need to file taxes because you don't make enough money? What is that threshold?
I defer to Mark on that one. He knows the numbers better than me.
Okay.
The answer, it's taxes, so the answer is it depends.
Oh, well, that sounds very political.
So if you're single and you have ordinary income from wages or interest, pension, and it falls below the standard deduction, $12,000 last year, that's indexed for inflation, then you have no filing requirement. If you're self-employed, that number changes to $400. So if your income is $400 or greater, then you're required to file, even though it's below the $12,000. When you get into items like capital gains, you may have lost money, but the transaction face value could be $100,000. So if you don't file, the IRS sees the transaction of $100,000 and assumes that that's the money that you earned on this. So each case, and you know, like always, everything has its own set of rules. So there's not one blanket of this applies to everybody in the tax world.
Yeah, it sounds like it's an individual scenario. What is your scenario? It's kind of like the mortgage business. What's your scenario?
Yeah.
Hey, they advertise all these loans, but do you qualify? So, okay. Where can people get the information that they need? I know it's irs.gov, but is it on the front page or do you have to dig? Did they hide it?
No, it's right on the front page. Yeah, we're sending people to irs.gov/coronavirus. You can search that way, or as Mark alluded to at the beginning of the show, you just go to irs.gov, and the first tab on the upper left says coronavirus tax relief, and you click there. That's got the latest information, because this has been a very fluid situation. The government's not used to moving this quickly, especially the IRS. We're much more methodical. We do things slowly because, you know, we get 150 million tax returns a year. So this stuff is coming fast and furious, and things have actually changed. I actually did a TV story about a week and a half ago, and we had to fix it overnight before it aired because the information had changed about people who received Social Security benefits that had not filed tax returns. That actually changed because at one point we were telling everybody they needed to file a return. So we send people there for the latest information, including the web portal that Mark talked about today, where you could register your name and your bank account information so that you could get direct deposit as opposed to a paper check.
I would be afraid if I hadn't paid my taxes in a few years that they'd freeze my account or seize it, one of the two.
Well, there are reasons people don't file. There's a wide reason. Sometimes it's laziness. Sometimes it's they don't have the money to pay. Sometimes they just don't, they don't have time. They're sick. I mean, there's a variety of reasons, but we want everyone to file when they are required to. And we want people to pay on time. And if you can't pay, we have ways where you can set up a payment agreement. We want people in the system as opposed to people hiding in the shadows.
Right. That makes sense. Well, how does this affect the IRS? Has what's going on had any impact on your job, Brian?
Oh, it's everything. It's crazy. I'm working from home. I mean, they basically closed our offices and they want all of us to be working at home. They've closed our taxpayer assistance centers, so you can no longer go in and meet with an IRS employee face-to-face. I mean, that's done for multiple reasons. It's the whole social distancing thing. We want to protect the public. We want to protect IRS employees. So trying to get tax help is much more difficult. I know our phone lines are just there. We don't have people manning them like we used to. So that's one of the main reasons why the tax deadline was moved to July 15th this year. And then also, it's crazy. So, but it's crazy everywhere. I'm just happy to be working. It's an adjustment working at home, but there's a lot of people hurting out there that don't have jobs. So I don't complain too much.
Oh, exactly. The people who can work from home are, most of them are more than willing to go home or stay home and get the job done. So hats off to these people. I know our office is closed. If you want to come into the office, you have to make an appointment. And social distancing is still practiced. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back in a few. Thanks for staying with us. Our guests today are IRS Special Agent Brian Watson and Enrolled Agent Mark Barnes, owner of Copper Canyon Tax Service. And I was just wondering, Mark, how does this deadline, tax deadline, affect your IRA contributions?
So this is interesting. When you get into the legal side of it, and the law side of it, and most of my job is based on laws, not math. Most of the math I do, my 12-year-old can do. So what we have to do is dig down deep and see what were the due dates for some of these items and what were they based on. And we have a difference in how the IRS laws are written versus our state laws. So when we get into things like our IRA contributions, the wording is that it is due by the due date of your tax return. So when we have a situation where the due date has now been moved to July 15th, the due date for making your IRA contribution has moved along with that. So has your HSA contribution. So if you have not made your IRA or HSA contribution, you have some additional time.
Tell people what HSA stands for.
Health savings account. So okay. If you have a high deductible health plan and you have an HSA that you use to pay your medical bills, you have some additional time. When we look at the Arizona side of things, and this is specific to the Arizona tax credits for public schools and private tuition organizations, foster care organizations, Arizona revised statute 43-1088, these must be made by the 15th day of the fourth month. So these items are due on April 15th. Doesn't matter what due date changes for tax returns. These are still due by the 15th day of the fourth month.
Okay. I think you just answered one of my other questions.
I did.
Yeah. Hey, Brian, what is People First Initiative?
So IRS unveiled something called the People First Initiative, and this came out on March 25th, and it's kind of some of the things I mentioned in the last segment, where basically the IRS is going to avoid in-person contact. So it's kind of like, think of this as putting all the stuff the IRS does dealing with the public on pause. For instance, taxpayer service offices are going to be closed. But it also is giving people more time. For instance, if you have an installment agreement, you know, you got behind on your taxes, you owe money, you can get those things suspended until July 15th. So it's sort of like a payment holiday. Anything, all liens and levies, including seizures of like a personal residence or vehicles, are going to be suspended. Basically, no new audits are starting during this time, so people are sitting at home going, yay, I mean, that's, yay, I'm not going to be audited during this time. So it's just putting a pause on everything the IRS is doing with the public for basically two reasons. One, for safety and health, and then the second thing is just to give people a break financially, because, I mean, how can you imagine if you'd lost your job right now and then you get an audit letter? I mean, that's just a double whammy. So it's just showing some compassion and some very prudent decision-making by our leaders, you know, just to be, let's just put this on pause. Everyone's hurting right now. Everyone's stressing out. There's a lot of uncertainty. Everything's just going to be put on hold until basically July 15th. And then when things get back to normal, we'll get back to the normal activities that the IRS does.
That's really cool, because most people don't think of IRS and compassion in the same sentence.
No, you don't. And I agree. And before, you know, I worked for I've been at the IRS for 25 years. You know, I would just think as the IRS is just another nameless bureaucracy. But it is made up of people. And, you know, we are compassionate. You know, sometimes bureaucracies can't be compassionate, but I think this was the right thing to do. And, you know, I'm proud that was done. It was done with good intentions.
Now, July 15th, are they anticipating a balloon payment if money's owed?
Maybe. I don't know. It'll be interesting. Just like you said, you know, we're going to look back on this COVID-19 thing, and you know, there might be, like you said, a lot of babies born, you know, sometime next year, you know, so things like that. There's going to be some fallout from this. It'll be very interesting. But obviously, the one thing we talked about, there'll be more people filing tax returns, especially people that, that we may have a record number of tax returns filed this year.
Yeah, I bet. And won't they be surprised when the tax that they owe eats up that stimulus check?
Yes.
Sorry. Yes. I've got a sick sense of humor. Okay, if people can't get help preparing their taxes, what do they do if the offices are closed?
So you can call our 800 number. But before that, I would just start with our website. Go to irs.gov. There is so much information there in terms of answering questions. We send people there to begin with anyways, even when our tax assistance centers are open, just because you get immediate help. But it's going to be tough, you know, not having in-person visits, and we just don't have as many people on the phones as we used to. So it may be a situation where if you can't do it yourself, you may have to hire someone that could help you if your questions are too complex.
Like Mark. He has all the answers.
We're still here.
Yeah, I know, but you do. I mean, you study more than anybody I know, and you have no choice because they keep throwing this stuff at you. I love it. How does the deadline affect, I'm thinking state law now, how does the deadline affect your charitable contributions?
So again, you have two sets of rules, really three sets of rules when we get into charitable contributions. For federal tax purposes, unless you've opted to be treated differently, taxpayers are on a cash basis. And what that means is you recognize income expenses as they happen, and your year is January 1st through December 31st. So if you were making a charitable contribution, it needed to happen between those dates for federal tax purposes. When we get into the Arizona credits, we discuss those. Those have a due date of the 15th day of the fourth month, which didn't change. So then you have that different set of rules for Arizona. So for people that usually take advantage of those and usually wait until their taxes are almost completed to know what their balance is, they either need to step it up because you have 4 days, or you have to make some assumptions and just make those credits based on your best knowledge of your situation.
So your deductible state tax credit did not move up to July 15th.
That did not move up.
So you've only got 4 days. The clock is ticking.
The clock's ticking. And again, it comes back to the language in the law where for federal purposes, items were based on the due date of your tax return. And in Arizona, the due date is the 15th day of the fourth month. And so it would take a legislation in the state to get that date changed, which isn't going to happen in the next 4 days, versus Governor Ducey extending, with the Department of Revenue, extending the due date of the tax return in Arizona out to match the July 15th date.
Okay. What is, I've heard on the news and I've heard from people calling me, and I've gotten phone calls from people doing these coronavirus scams. Can you update us on what the latest and greatest scam is so people can be careful?
Yeah, so just think about this. All this money's coming out really quickly, and the scammers are just licking their chops going, how do I get a piece of this money? So we're seeing phone scams. We're seeing phishing scams. The biggest thing we're seeing is phishing schemes, so phony emails, claiming to be the IRS or Treasury, and that you need to, quote, verify your information to be able to get your economic impact payment. And one of the things, and that's the official name of it, the economic impact payment. So the criminals like to use the word stimulus. So that's one clue that it's fraudulent. But the biggest clue is the IRS is not going to be calling and emailing you to verify this information. So if you get an email saying to verify, just delete it. That's not the IRS. And then the other thing, we're also seeing bogus checks being sent out. Not a lot of them, but we know it's happening. Checks being sent now. Also, people texting or emailing saying that they can get you money faster by clicking, you know, sending your personal information, clicking on links. You know, don't fall for it. The vast majority of people don't have to do a single thing to get that economic impact payment. But some people, like we mentioned earlier in the show, can actually verify and provide information to the government, not to verify, but to provide their direct deposit information if they're one of those paper check people when they get their refunds. So that is brand new. That's on irs.gov, and that information is there where you could provide the information to the government. But that's a very different than, quote, verifying information by someone who's sending a fraudulent email.
So what are some of the other recent local and national investigations worked by the IRS Criminal Investigation Division? Isn't that you?
Yes, yes. Well, you know what? You know, and I want to just follow up on another question you had earlier, Sherry. How has it affected you? The courts have shut down right now. So the federal courts are completely shut down. They're just skeleton crew of stuff they're doing. So, like, all of our sentencings, our trials, our pleas, everything is just been continued. So it's gotten really slow. But no, some of the cases that we've had, one of the national cases I wanted to highlight, you know, is some of these dark web cases that we worked in March. There was a website called darkscandals.com. It was taken down. There was a Dutch national guy named Michael Mohammed running it, and this site basically, it's pretty awful. It featured violent rape videos and depictions of child pornography. The defendant, the guy I just mentioned running it, received almost $2 million in cryptocurrency doing it. But this site was, I mean, it was the real deal. It was this awful stuff. And we found this, it was actually IRS special agents that found it, because we have people that work these darknet investigations. And it was actually follow-up from this welcome-to-video site that the government took down that was being operated out of South Korea. And I mentioned this, I'm pretty sure, last time I was on your show, I talked about this welcome-to-video site. This welcome-to-video site contained over 250,000 unique videos, and almost half of them were videos of child pornography that were not even known to exist. So the criminals have moved into this realm of the dark net and using cryptocurrency, but the government is catching up to them and taking these sites down. And it's really cool that it's our IRS special agents that are on the cutting edge of these investigations. And it just shows, you know, the criminals, they can't hide behind the cryptocurrency as much as they used to be able to.
That's awesome. I'm really happy to hear that. And after the show, I'm going to call you. I want to talk about something. Mark, you just sent me a text message saying you have a video on YouTube.
I recorded a video yesterday, and I tried to take the most frequently asked questions and make a video that would help out the general public with how all this stuff is going to work and kind of what they can expect. You can head over to YouTube. And in the search bar, just type in potential CPE. That is my tax education business. And it comes right up. Taxes in 10, economic impact payment, a.k.a. your stimulus check, is the title of the video. It's about 10 minutes long and walks through all the questions that we've received from people about, you know, how's this going to work?
And what's changed with unemployment?
We got a variety of things that have changed with unemployment. One of the first things that happened was Arizona pushed out a new program, the Arizona Shared Workforce Program, And this is a program that will allow your employer to file an application with DES. And it's designed for companies that are essential and people are still working, but on a reduced basis. So the criteria are you still need to employ your staff. Their hours can be reduced. They need to be reduced at least 10%, but not more than 40%. And then it allows them to file for unemployment and collect some unemployment through this program while they're still employed and working. It's the first time we've had a situation where you could work almost full-time and still collect unemployment. On the federal side, we have the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program, which is going to be an additional $600 per week on top of your state unemployment benefits if you meet one of the 10 criteria that are outlined in the new legislation that's been pushed out in the last couple of weeks. So basically, if you have an event that is COVID-19 related, whether you're diagnosed with, whether you have been ordered by a doctor to quarantine, taking care of child that has it or another family member, all the way down to your business is closed because of government at the state level, they've ordered a closure of your business because of COVID-19. I'm not exactly sure when payments for that program will take effect, but it should be in the next couple of weeks. So
you don't have to be fired from your job to collect unemployment.
No, a lot of these places, the employees have been furloughed while businesses have been completely shut down. Right next door to me is a fitness center, and that was one of the first places to get shut down. So all the employees that were working there are now furloughed. It's not a permanent unemployment for them. Once the closure is lifted, they will be able to come back and start working. But they're able to collect unemployment in the meantime because they're not being compensated at their job. And when the pandemic unemployment assistance kicks in, then they'll get an extra $600. At the state level, your maximum benefit in Arizona is $240 a week. So an additional $600 is a big deal if your bills are more than $1,000 a month.
So if you're classified as an essential employee, would you still be qualified to submit for this?
If you're essential and you're still working, then you shouldn't be collecting unemployment. You should be, and this is we've talked with a lot of our small business owners this week, and they have to make decisions based on what their current needs are, you know, as to how many employees they're keeping, who wants to continue to work, how many people are going to be temporary furloughed. And so even if you're considered essential and you're a doctor's office or you're a dentist office, they're not doing the normal volume that they were doing 2 months ago. So even an essential business, there is a serious downturn in the business that they have right now because people aren't going in unless there's an emergency.
Yeah, that's true. And they say if you're sick, call in first.
Don't just show up.
Figure out what to do. So if your hours have been reduced considerably and you're not an essential employee, then you could probably qualify for this.
You'd have to speak directly we do the other side of employment. We're working on the employer side of it. We're the one that's responding to claims, making sure that people that are filing claims that we agree. The other side of it, DES handles, and I don't know what all their requirements are. I'm assuming they've loosened up their criteria based on the current situation, but that's their side of it. I don't know exactly what they would need. I've heard lots of cases of people that are like, I'm not coming to work, I'm not going to get sick, I'm just going to stay home. I don't know where that falls on the scale of you're going to collect unemployment or you're just simply unemployed.
Yeah, there is a difference. Okay, what should we be doing now to prepare for 2020?
So there are thresholds for being eligible for the economic impact payment. And if your income is typically over those thresholds, now's the time to take action if action hasn't been taken for you by reduced hours or other circumstances. In the video, I discuss all the dollar thresholds. So what I would be looking at now, if you expect your income to be the same, now's the time to start thinking about making contributions to your 401k or 403b plan. Now's the time to think about those IRA contributions and health savings account contributions for the 2020 year so that you can reduce your taxable income so that you may qualify for a stimulus payment when you file your 2020 tax return if you don't currently show that you're eligible based on your income from either your 19 return or your 2018 return.
So if your business, your stimulus check isn't going to come until next year's tax season?
No. If you don't qualify now because your income is too high, you can still pick this up. The qualifiers are on your 2020 tax return. And this is a tax credit that's for the year 2020. This is just an advanced payment on a future tax credit. If you're a business owner, you should be discussing with whoever's taking care of your taxes, your payroll, what your options are now, whether it's through the shared work program through Arizona or the Paycheck Protection Program loans through SBA. You should be talking about whether or not you need to get an economic injury loan through SBA. There's a lot of things that have come out in the last couple of weeks for businesses to help with funding, to keep employees paid. And if you're in one program, it usually cuts off your access to other programs. So you have to kind of pick and choose wisely which one is going to work best for your business. And a lot of it comes down to what are your immediate cash needs? Are you essential? Do you still have employees working or are you shut down? There's not one size fits all solution for the business side of it. Individuals, hey, you're going to get a $1,200 payment if you qualify. If you're married, you're going to get a $2,400 payment if you qualify. If you don't qualify, there's things you can do so that you do qualify next year. And then it would be part of your refund on your 2020 tax return when you file next year if you don't get it this year.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. Okay, Brian, what kind of scams should we be watching for? I have to tell you, I received a couple of recorded scams, and I wanted to play them on air because one was for Social Security. I can't remember what the other one was. And on March 2nd, I got two back-to-back restricted phone calls, and those messages that were left on my phone were erased. I was just like, what the heck?
Yeah, so I'm glad you mentioned the Social Security one. This is one that's been going on for almost a year now. And it's very similar to the IRS impersonation scam, which has been going on since 2013. The IRS scam, they basically call up and say you're going to get arrested or you're going to be the subject of a lawsuit and you need to act now. That's always what it is, now.
Yes, it was very...
And they get you to stay on the line or they get you to call back because it could be a robocall. And eventually the end game for them is they want you to send money. They wire money or use the prepaid cards. The Social Security scam is just a morph of it. And if you think about it, it's a whole lot scarier because some people will just hang up on the IRS. But when you hear the word Social Security and that's your primary source of income, you're going to respond because you're told that your account's been frozen because of fraudulent activity. It's a scam. Tell your family and friends. I went to my dad's house a month ago. He was out of town. Checked on his house, and he had that voicemail on his answering machine about Social Security saying he had to call back now. So tell your family and friends it's a complete scam. IRS will not call and demand money. Social Security Administration will not call and demand money over the phone. But you got to spread the word and tell your family and friends and neighbors that these things are out there.
Yeah, usually if there's a pause, you answer the phone and there's this pause that... And then all of a sudden somebody comes on and starts talking. And you can almost get used to the robocalls. It's a robotic voice asking if you're there, hello, and blah, blah, blah. Is this you? They're trying to get you to say the word yes. Just hang up on them. I always hang up.
I just screen my phone calls. I'm drives my wife crazy because the phone's ringing in the house and I'm not answering it. But I just don't have the time to deal with these scammers, you know, and some of them are legitimate. They're just trying to make money, and you can't fault them too much for that.
A legitimate scam.
Well, I'm like a business, you know. You get people trying to sell something. So not all phone calls are scam calls. Some are people trying to make money. And then of course we get to look forward to the fall when there'll be a bunch of robocalls, and those will be for political ads. So same reason, I just screen because I don't have the time or patience to listen to it. If it's important, somebody will leave a message and I can call them back.
Yeah, those political calls. I tell them, you're going to keep calling me, I'm going to vote for somebody else. Get off my phone. Okay. Mark, I want you to give us the instructions on how to get to your YouTube video again.
Okay. So you're going to head to youtube.com. On the top of the page is a search bar. In that search bar, type in potential space CPE, and that's potential, like you've got potential.
Thank you.
And that should bring you to our page. And as I searched for it, the top video that comes up, it's called Taxes in 10, Economic Impact Payment, a.k.a. your stimulus check. And hopefully that'll get everybody pointed in the right direction on what to expect and how much they should get.
Awesome. I'm happy that you did that, because we're running out of time and I know there's so much more to talk about, and at least you have a resource to get some of these answers. I want to thank you both for coming on, Brian and Mark. Mark, Brian, we know, is an IRS special agent, and Mark is the owner of Copper Canyon Tax Service, who is an enrolled agent, and there is a difference between the two. Brian uses a gun. Mark doesn't.
not for my job on a day-to-day basis. It's unnecessary.
So, but they both want you to pay your taxes. And I wanted to touch on the forbearance, but we don't have time. But if you're interested in learning how the forbearance can screw up your life, give me a call. I'd be happy to let you know. And we are trying to put together a show. I've had a couple of people ask me to do a show about the mortgages and the forbearance and buy a car, don't pay for 6 months, and how that's going to affect everybody. I thought I'd give the owner of the company I work for first right of refusal. And if he doesn't want to come on, we'll absolutely have somebody else, because I've got several people who've been asking about it. And I want to wish everybody a happy Easter. Stay home, stay healthy. And next week we will have Cochise County Sheriff Mark Daniels on to tell us everything he needs to know about what's going on down in Cochise County. Talk to you later.